This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 148. So today, I'm excited to have Regina Evangelista of Mr. Outsource back with us. Regina first joined us in episode 142 and then again in episode 145. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those if you want to hear more about her backstory, but also more of her incredible involvement in the advocacy of outsourcing, in the proliferation of outsourcing in the provinces of the Philippines, and her many sort of educational pursuits in this sector. So really interesting and fantastic lady. Today we talk again more broadly about outsourcing, the potential, but the future of outsourcing as well. And we also touch on the currently common topic of how artificial intelligence and automation is affecting the industry. So an interesting chat I'm sure you will enjoy. If you want to get in touch with Regina or want to know more about Mr. Outsource or anything we mention, then go to the show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/148. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, again, I'm joined by Regina Evangelista of Mr. Outsource. Hi, Regina, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for spending your time with us again today. Today, we've had you on the podcast previously. Really interesting conversations, and you are so intertwined into the whole outsourcing sector, specifically the kind of virtual assistant and freelancer section. I want to get your knowledge and insight today on the future of outsourcing and where all this is going to go. But initially, would you mind just introducing yourself to the crowd out there?
Yes, I'm happy to be back. So I'm Regina Evangelista, from CEO of Mr. Outsource. We're a VA agency based in Davao City. I'm an advocate for improving the overall standard of the Philippine online workforce. I'm the author of The Outsourcing Mastery, 17 Secrets on How to Outsource the Philippines. And I have trained thousands of digital professionals through Mr. Outsource University. And again, I'm one of the founding members of the National Association for Online Freelancers, which is DCAP, or the Digital Career Advocate of the Philippines.
Wow, so that's a super long list, and it's amazing that you managed to pack all of that into 7 years. So you have seen, and you started as a freelancer yourself within the content area, and you've expanded your skill set immensely, and you're running businesses, and you're having to sort of muddle through this entire entrepreneurial journey, as we all do. How do you see, I suppose initially, how have you seen the outsourcing offering evolve over the last 7 years? Have you seen a general upskilling? What's the kind of direction been?
Yeah, it's we recently had a Davao Freelancers meetup this weekend, and part of that meetup is just discussing what's going on, what's in, what's not. And part of the reason why we met, because when you search virtual assistant online, it shows a different virtual assistant definition. It says bots, like the literal virtual assistant bots.
Wow.
So there's that shift from becoming the virtual assistant person to that bot message, any bot that can do stuff that virtual assistant can do. Now, there's that shift where one of the freelancers said that one of her clients laid off four freelancers and then remained, just have her managed four bots.
Really?
Yes. So it was a shock to me, in a way, where bots can be powerful, if we just make sure that we leverage that technology. But there's also that threat where we read on the news the other day where the BPO industry has to shift in their service, because most people are now, they don't call anymore. They just interact with bots online.
Mm. But how do you see that in real life though? Because I think this is all blown out of proportion, and it's funny that the first thing that you kind of center on is this whole march of bots and AI, and it really is big news at the moment in the outsourcing sector, and kind of everyone's all worried about it. But in your day-to-day world, in your business, in the businesses of your VA clients, do you really see that bots could do the complexity of tasks, the have the agility of roles that you do and your management do and your VAs do?
Not 100%. We still have an advantage versus these bots, but there are these bots can do very repetitive work that most virtual assistant in the Philippines generally. So we have stages of virtual assistant, those that are newbies who can do data entry, copy pasting, data scraping. Those can also maybe input data input on certain CRMs. Those can be done by bots already, or those bots then those automation bots that virtual assistant used to do that, but now bots can now take care of that, and they're very process based and they're very process based. So a virtual assistant really have to make sure that those bots are working. But right now, at least for our clients, there's really no need for that shift yet. But they're thinking of getting that in a way where the customer support side, answering emails on Facebook messages, or online or their website.
Wow. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's interesting because the bots have certainly, or AI have certainly had an impact in the top end of the market, where there's thousands of people doing highly repetitive tasks within the big BPOs and conglomerates. But I'm surprised to hear actually that it's kind of already impacting the smaller end of the market in the VA market. Do you know what sort of roles those bots were doing in your example of the girl now managing three bots?
Yeah, so those bots basically do answering messages on Facebook.
Right.
So the bots get smarter and smarter every day because there's only so many questions that a customer can ask about your service or about your business. So that bot basically will learn. So there are two bots, the one that says the one that follow rules
Yeah.
and the one that that can do that gets smarter and smarter. So she said she gets to manage these bots, but at the same time, she can now update her resume and says, I'm a bot manager.
Yeah.
So,
Wow.
which is also another skill where she can have a higher rate, right?
Yeah.
So that's another service for her. But it's just unfortunate that the people, the VAs under stage one or tier one needs to up their game and make sure that they're not replaceable and make sure that what they provide is more of a strategic tasks rather than do this, pick an apple, you go pick an apple. So more of just let's up our game and just provide more than just those that bots can replace.
Yeah, and you are right. I mean, the whole sector to protect itself needs to upskill, doesn't it? There's no longer kind of safety and sanctity in just being like a human robot, effectively. With the Philippines has got to offer skills that are desirable, that are current, and as well, I think certainly in the SME market, people need to be agile. They need to be able to cover a lot of different roles. And yeah, which in itself presents as a difficulty, but I think at least if they achieve those things, then they're somewhat immune from bots and AI for the short term at least.
Yeah, I mean, another change that comes to mind is more and more freelancers or Filipinos are going for the digital nomad lifestyle where they just leave the country and just travel and bring their work. So more and more people can afford going to Singapore or those no visa required countries. And it's good they can get to experience that. And other people, oh, how does he do that? Like, okay, well, it piques their interest and say, what is your work? Why do you do that? So there's also that side where everyone just traveling,
Yeah.
So it's there's that community as well.
And the outsourcing industry really is upskilling, though, isn't it? There is this risk from the bots removing the copy and pasting kind of functions, but 20 years ago, the outsourcing industry was just call center, but now outsourcing encompasses literally anything and everything in business, from design to production
Back
to
office,
back
yeah.
office and web coding, and it really is now just becoming a all-encompassing kind of it's just work, isn't it? And do you see that in the province? Are you seeing like this kind of people upskilling in Davao or further out into the province, or are the majority of the people still kind of entering it at the basic stages?
Actually, no, they are going home now from Davao City. They are now going back to their provinces because basically, if you live in Mindanao, like the main cities where you go work is Davao. So right now they're going back to their hometown and home provinces, and they just make sure there's internet. And yeah, a lot of my students are now there, and I'm just very happy to see them like working in front of the beach, and there's a farm there, there's plants, and there's rice field next to them, and they're enjoying the life.
Yeah. And what do you say then to, because we do a lot of promotion into the West and of course into the US, and we get a considerable amount of kickback sometimes by people that accuse us of being terrorists. They say that we're traitors because we're encouraging outsourcing and they're going to lose their jobs. But also another kind of criticism that they lob at us is that outsourcing is unfair and it's slave labor and people aren't paid a living wage. But what is your reflection on that? And can you maybe for the listeners out there give an example of what someone might earn as a VA sitting on the beach in their province versus maybe a high school graduate in their province doing a standard job?
Yeah, so we had an issue where we have to let go one of our staff because he's just not working well. And he said like we feel like we're not giving you enough salary, and he's earning 20,000 a month, and we just feel like we can pay him more, but he needs to step up. And he says, well, if I don't have this job, I will be working in the government for 8,000 a month. So this is already a huge opportunity for me. It's above average. It's a great culture. It's a great working culture environment. And it still surprises me where how, the normal wage, especially in the province, is 8,000, 10,000 a month. And although sure, we live in the province, but at the end of the day, you would want, to earn more. To send your school to send your kids to a good school, to a private school. And so if you earn 20,000 and you live in the farm or in the province, it goes a long, long way. And it's, they're earning in dollars and they're spending in pesos, so it's win-win for them. So it's really just when they find a client, they take care of that client and making sure that, this is it. This is their life. They have given up everything. So they've dedicated their whole life to this client in exchange for living at home, taking care of the family, and going back to the province.
And just to put that in context, 20,000 pesos per month is about US$400, and the comparison, 8,000 pesos is what, about $175 per month that that people are earning. And again, working for the government, it's not high paid, but that's a pretty good job as well. So there's an incredible span there. And so do you see that people kind of very quickly get used to it all, and then suddenly 20K is normal? And they kind of rest on their laurels, or do you see that generally people with these 20K VA jobs, they're really aware of the luck that they have.
Yeah, I mean, if they kind of see that in a way where they if they go to Upwork, there are clients like really offering this amount of rate, and there are other virtual assistants who offer lower than 20,000 a month, and they may have the same skill set, they may have the same rating on Upwork, but just a lower value. And it just says that it just gives them puts them in a perspective where, okay, I have a client who pays me this, so I just make sure I don't lose it. I just make sure I don't lose the client and make sure that I provide more value over deliver, so to speak. And then, you know, they just take care of that client. And they may not get that $20,000 again, but at least their bread and butter is the $20,000, and they make sure that that's being prioritized.
Right, right. And where do you see all this going then? Like, where? Like, I have a theory that in 20, 30 years' time, outsourcing won't be called outsourcing anymore. It will just be called employment, because people across the world will be interacting with each other and employing each other, you know, just based on meritocracy and skills, not on where they're sitting. But where do you see this whole thing evolving over the next 20, 30 years? Are you optimistic, or are you worried about AI?
No, not really. I mean, it's more and more people, VAs that I know of, they get to know the how to run a business, or at least an e-commerce business, and they start their own e-commerce business. They become an entrepreneur themselves. They started baking. They started selling in Lazada. They started selling on eBay, doing Amazon affiliates. At the same time, having that opportunity to learn from their clients' businesses. And their clients would help them. And more people I can see are becoming entrepreneurs themselves because of the business learning that they know, that they, you know, that in the Philippines, you need to enroll and go to college for business school, business courses. But with them, they get to, you know, start their own VA agency or create their own e-commerce business. And some of them would retire doing virtual assistant work and just focus on becoming an entrepreneur. Some of them has finally saved up money and started their own apartment for rent in the province, or started their own farm and just doing what they're what they're passionate in doing. And, you know, it just gives them more areas where they can grow. I mean, if you know, if their end goal is to really start their own business, the outsourcing has helped us in a way where, you know, paved our own successes. So it may not become a, it may not be outsourcing, but outsourcing is a tool where it helps us provide value at the same time, like do what we love to do.
Yeah, and they're all amazing examples, aren't they? And it's a sector that enables people to better themselves, to upskill themselves, to earn money, to save money, and then of course that money is reinvested in society, into other investments, yeah, other businesses, employing other people. It's and again, it's sort of the first time this has ever really existed, because previously if DeVal got lucky 20, 30 years ago, it was because maybe a new factory was built, but there's not the same kind of up-leveling as a result of a factory job. It's really huge potential.
Yeah, and more clients wanting to meet their virtual assistants, going to the Philippines, improving our tourism. There's this high rate of people visiting, and they don't care if it's in Mindanao. They don't care if it's like there's the news of terrorists or whatever. They just come here to visit the virtual assistant and their team, and they go to the beach and they do team building. And, you know, it's such a great honor to be able to meet the person you just see on your computer, to finally really invest the time and money to go to the Philippines. And it's also humbling where they say, no, Regina, you make this happen. If I didn't hire a virtual assistant, I wouldn't able, you know, have the time at least to come here, because I'm trapped in, you know, I call them solopreneur, where they do everything themselves. So with that, you know, they thank us for this opportunity where they can fly to the tropical country like Philippines and bond with a team. And more people are coming here, which, you know, which is nice. And they see the potential in the Philippines. They want to start their coffee shops here. They want to start other businesses. So there is more of that collaboration going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really is a win-win for everyone involved, isn't it? And that's part of our job as well, just trying to get the message out there and promoting this as such a fantastic opportunity for the Philippines, for the workforce in the Philippines, but also everyone out there in the West as well. So
yeah, we like, for us also, I also wanted to mention, where because we don't have a regulatory body, or we don't have that support system yet, we can't really report it to the police that we didn't get paid or anything. So we started a blacklisted of clients and their names, that didn't pay and their what happened and their experiences. So if ever this person contacted you on LinkedIn, please know that this is what happened with us. Here are some screenshots of our conversation. More and more people. So we try to do those just little things to protect ourselves every now and then.
Do you get that? Yeah, you get sort of foreign employees and not paying their bills. I suppose that's natural.
Yeah, absolutely. We have clients who ask for a test writing job for 20 articles.
Wow.
And that's just a test.
Yeah.
And for a Filipino who wanted to, okay, it's okay. It's just 20. I can just do it, you know? And at the end, it's not. So yeah, so there are just some people. There's always the bad and the good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we should embrace the good, the bad, the ugly, the everything. It's part of the whole process. So yeah, we should just be aware.
How do you find clients generally? Certainly my experience is that clients are generally very supportive. They're very appreciative. You would have more firsthand experience than me. What is the true representation of Western clients?
Luckily, I have never experienced being scammed or a client not paying my service. I think I also had the skill or the experience or then that knack of telling whether this client is good or not. If it's too good to be true, then I advise not to go with it. There are a lot of clients that are looking for your services, so don't just settle with one client. I mean, right now we're in the position where we can choose clients that we work with. Luckily, we're in that position, but before, when we're starting out, it was all a hustle every day. We talked to different clients every day. There was no screening process. There was no interview or a first call. Mm. It was all, we cater to everyone. But then, you know, it's very draining. They don't have the time, they don't have the money. So at the end, it's not working out. So we just said, okay, these are the checklists. These are the clients that we need to work with and just be done with it. And if they don't match with us, then we recommend other freelancers that we meet in Davao City. And then we just offer it to them.
Right. Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, there's everything has both the good and the bad in it, doesn't it? But okay, thank you so much. And I really appreciate our conversation. And I'm happy that there's so much optimism for outsourcing generally. But if anyone wants to get in touch with you, if they want to know more about Mr. Outsource, how can they do that?
Yeah, so just visit our website. It's www.mroutsource.com. And there's a form there. Just fill it in. And yeah, we'll get right back via email or via Skype call.
Thank you so much, Regina.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Regina Evangelista of Mr. Outsource. If you want to get in touch with her or want to know any more about Mr. Outsource, then go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/148. And of course, if you want to email us, then please do just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com and we will get back to you. See you next time.